Well, quick introduction. Obviously, I'm Rich. I come from Leeds. You can see it there, Community Church Leeds. So we moved to Leeds. Kate, my wife, and I moved to Leeds just over 2 years ago. Now, we've got three grown-up children, Matt, Steve, and Susanna. Matt, the eldest, is married now to his wife, Neve. And we've got a dog called Frisbee. So that's kind of like our family. The other thing I ought to say is if I used to live in Oxford. If you're ever in Oxford and you think you meet me and say hello and I blank you, it's not me being rude. I've got an identical twin, okay, called Adrian. So if you see me and think, oh, that's Rich and he's being rude to me, I'm not. It's not me. It's me brother. And if you want afterwards, I can tell you some stories about different ways he's dropped me in it over the years. I have talked to him once or twice, but he's done it to me more. So, but I'm more than happy to tell you that, about that. So we're going to think about today, joining with God in his mission, and looking at doorways of opportunity, things that God is doing, around us in the lives of people, because he loves people. And when you think about that, joining with God in his mission, you've got to ask the question, first of all, well, what is his mission? What is God all about? Well, if you look at the Bible is a story. It's a story of God and people, God's interaction with people. And as you look through that story, you will see his mission sort of woven through that story. And so let me just do a very quick recap. Here we go. This is the story of Scripture in about 30 seconds or so. Here we go. So first of all, you've got creation. God creates and he creates people to be with him. Things go wrong. And people turn their backs on him. But then he promises to a guy called Abraham that people who know him will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. People will come home. I thought it was wonderful what you said, Pauline. Where's Pauline? Absolutely wonderful. You've come home. And that's what God wants for people. People to come home. Come home to him. Come home to his family. He then gets Israel to be a light to the nations. Their job was to show what it was like for God to be king so that others would know. It wasn't going to end with them, but they kind of like do a bit of a mixed job really on that. And then the climax really of the story, the key pinnacle of the story is Jesus coming, God coming to earth as a man so we can relate to him, we can know him, and we can be drawn into his family and him dying on the cross to open heaven's door, open that relationship to God for all of us. That message then goes out to all the nations. And one day, Jesus will return and people will be with him forever. The essence of that story is that God wants to be known. That's his mission. God wants to be known by people. He wants to be known. So that begs the question, well, what is he like? Will people want to know him? God wants to be known, but will people want to know him? Well, woven side by side with that story that God is on a mission to be known is a message that God is a God of love and mercy and kindness and grace. He overflows with love, mercy, kindness and grace. So we want to know him. He melts our hearts. That's what he's like. When you approach God, when you come and start to seek after him, what you will find is mercy. You'll find love. You'll find what Pauline said. I can come home. I can come home to the place where I've always should have belonged and the place that's for me, where I can find true belonging, true identity, true purpose in life. There's a guy called Frederick Lehmann who at the turn of the last century wrote a hymn. It was a poem really he wrote based on some writings that he found of an old Jewish rabbi. And let me just read you a couple of verses of what he wrote about the love of God. This is what he says. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down by care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned him from sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and wear the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's God's love. It's infinite, it's immeasurable, and it pours out love and mercy to people. He loves us passionately. I thought Fiona's song, as when Fiona was singing that song about the cloud as small as a fist growing and growing and the rain coming down, it was wonderful. It was about God's love. God's love pouring down that we could dance in the rain. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, puts it like this. God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, I love you. Or, he says this as well, the cross tells us that God understands our sin and our suffering, for he took it upon himself in the person of Jesus Christ. From the cross, God declares, I love you. I know the heartaches and the sorrows and the pain that you feel, but I love you. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of God's interaction over time with people. He wants to be known and he loves us. He overflows with mercy and kindness and love. He's involved. He gets involved in people's lives. Let me tell you a story. I said I was married to Kate, my wife. My wife and I, we're living in Leeds now. We are there to start a church, Community Church Leeds, which is all about helping people make that connection with God's love for themselves. And one of the things that Kate does is she runs a charity called Flourishing Families Leeds, working with families in different parts of the city, some of the more deprived areas of the city. And one of the things she was doing, or she still does, is run an English conversation class for people for whom English is not their first language, to help them connect with communities, to help them feel part. And she's driving there one Tuesday evening. And as she's driving along, she feels God speaks to her. He's like, kind of like drops a little thought into her mind. That there's someone there at the English conversation class that night that she needs to talk to. She doesn't know who it is. She says, this sense, there's someone there at the English conversation class that I need to talk to. Because God is wanting to draw close with his love to that person. So she gets there, they do the class, and afterwards, she's just going around the class, they're all having a cup of tea, with a cup of tea, and she's just looking. Where is it, Lord? Who is it that you want to touch with your love this evening? She starts talking to a lady called Maria. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this conversation, they get talking about how lonely Maria is. Maria bursts into tears. And through that, Kate was able to say to her, you know what, Maria, you've got no family here, but you know I'm part of a church. And in this church, we believe that one of the things that God wants to do, one of the ways he wants to show love to people, is to put lonely people into family. And that family is the church. So if you want, we'll be your family. That was the Tuesday. The Wednesday, Maria's round our house, because we've got a meeting with some of the people in the church on that Wednesday evening. She's there. She's there on the Sunday. She's there the following Wednesday. She's there the next Sunday. We're having brunch. We have an international brunch once a month, because Leeds is a very cosmopolitan international city. It's the most cosmopolitan international city outside London in the UK. 750,000 people, 100 different nations living in Leeds. So we do this brunch, food from all over the nation. So Maria brings Venezuelan milk cake. It's basically diabetes or heart attack on a plate, this stuff, right? So it's a cake. So it's a sponge cake. But then you mix full fat milk, she assures us, full fat milk with condensed milk and evaporated milk and sugar, and then you pour it on the cake. So this cake basically is like a sponge. It soaks up all this stuff. I mean, it does taste nice, and you put cinnamon on the top of it. It did taste nice, but you're eating it, you're thinking, this, you know, what is this doing to my arteries? So she brings that, and at the end, she's talking to Kate, and Kate says to her, you know, this family, if you would like, you know, God has drawn close. He wants to know you. Would you like to know him? And she did. So they prayed together, and Maria was able to open her heart to Jesus. It took 2 weeks from us first getting to know her, and that's what God's like. He loves people. He draws close. He's already involved in people's lives because he loves them. And we can see these doorways of opportunity that he opens up for us, like that doorway for Maria, to connect with Maria, because he loves people and he's drawing close to them. If you've got your Bibles, I wonder if you could turn with me to the book of Acts. Don't worry if you've not, because I'm going to put the verses up here in a second. But we're going to have a look. The book of Acts, in the Bible, in the New Testament, you've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the stories of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And then you've got the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the story of the church, this small group, this family of God, starting to spread this message of God's love across the known world. Bit by bit. And the story of Acts is all about that. It's a story that's got full of movement and momentum as God is working and as he's looking to reach out with this love to people and wanting to be known by more and more and more people. If you just look at the first sort of 11 or 12 chapters, this is what you see. A few of the highlights, a few of these doorways of opportunity that God opens up, which lead to breakthrough in people's lives as God's love impacts their lives. There's a day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out on this small group, this church, this embryonic church, and 3,000 more are added to it. A huge, huge number. They start then to meet together, and every day more people are being connected with God, starting to get to know him as he's looking to be known by people, and his love is touching and transforming their hearts. Then there's a lame guy gets healed, and 5,000, now the church numbers more than 5,000, as a load more get added. There are more healings and more believe. There are 7 guys that get chosen to help distribute the food amongst this growing church, and as a result of that, the apostles are able to sort of be released to explain about God to more and more to people, and a whole load more people become Christians. And then a sad, terrible moment when one of these Christians is stoned to death, he's martyred, Stephen. But the effect of that is that these believers scatter from Jerusalem. They have to flee for their lives, and then one guy, Philip, ends up in a place called Samaria, north of Jerusalem. And there he sees a revival. He sees God's love being poured out on loads and loads of people. And then you have a guy called Paul who is converted whilst he's on the Damascus Road. And there is a gearing up to take this message of God's love, that God wants to be known and he loves people, beyond the Jews to all the non-Jews, all of the Gentiles. That leads to a place called Antioch, and a church being established there, a great number of Greeks believing there. Barnabas sends for Paul, who arrives there, and they basically build a base there from which they journey, and the gospel is spread and spread and spread and goes as far as Rome, the centre, the capital of the empire. That's the first 12 chapters. And then right at the end, Paul reaches Rome. I wanted to look at just one of those passages and think about how God wants to be known, how there are these doorways of opportunity that he opens up for us because he's at work, he's active in people's lives, he's drawing close, he's knocking on their door, he's wanting to show them his love. And then we can see these doorways and we can be part of this message and this sense of the momentum and movement of God, because God is on a mission. We can be part of his mission. We can be part of the story. Because this story is an unfinished story. God hasn't finished yet. There are loads more people that he wants to connect with and show his love. So let's have a look. In Acts chapter 11, this is a story of this church in this place called Antioch, first getting established. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They sent him there because they were surprised. They weren't expecting still that this message really was for anyone other than the Jews. But God's love was for everybody, and they were still trying to get their heads around this, so that's why they sent Barnabas, because literally this just wasn't kosher. What was happening here? So they send Barnabas to check it out. When he arrives, he tells us, and saw the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You see, one breakthrough after another, after another, as God is moving, as this God who wants to be known and loves people is moving. This is what you see. The first breakthrough is that these daring pioneers preached to the Greeks. They go beyond the expectation of this is really just for Jewish people, and they start to speak to people who are not Jews. That's the first breakthrough that happens. It leads to a second breakthrough. The Lord's hand was with them. That's a key little phrase there. God is at work. When we join with God in the mission to help other people make that connection with him, we are not trying to make something happen. God's doing that. We're joining with him in what he's already doing. He's already at work. He loves people. He's looking for these breakthroughs. His hand was with these guys, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The third breakthrough then is that Barnabas arrives, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Friendship evangelism. What happens is one lot arrive, that's breakthrough two. Barnabas then comes along, and a second lot connects with what God is, with God's love. And you see a whole new lot of people added to the church. The fourth breakthrough then leads to lots more breakthroughs. A multicultural church in Antioch is established and becomes the base of missionary journeys. That is probably the reason it was multicultural. That is probably the reason why they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's one of the likely reasons. We don't know for sure why. But that's one of the likely reasons why they were first called Christians. Christian means little Christ. Why they were first called it there? Because people were looking and saying, well, in every other context where there's a religion, it's kind of like just for one group of people, just for one nationality. All of a sudden now, this one, this faith, and it's not a religion, it's a relationship. What we've got is a relationship. Religion is a set of rules and regulations. We haven't got that. We've got a relationship with God. It's totally different to a religion. But they're looking and they're saying, this faith that these people have found with Jesus, it goes beyond all the human-made borders. All the different, you know, there's people from all these different nations. And that first happened in this place, Antioch. And they're looking and saying, they're all together like brothers and sisters. It's breaking down all the barriers. Just like this guy, Jesus, was like. He wasn't liked by the religious Pharisees, but every ordinary people loved him and found a home with him. They're just like him. They're little versions of who he is and who he was. They called them Christians. So you see these breakthroughs. Let's just think for a moment about what we can learn from this passage about how God is working and wanting to be known by people. The first thing is this, that God is at work. He was then, and he still is. He's at work in people's lives. He's wanting to draw close to people. His hand was with them, it says, and more believed through friendship with Christians. God was at work in their lives too. God gets there before us in the lives of people that we know. He's already there. He's already at work. We moved to Leeds in 2015, the summer of 2015, and there were 9 of us moved there. And we just started meeting together on a Wednesday evening, on a Sunday morning in the lounge in our house. And one or two people started to join us. And one of the people who was with us, she was doing a master's degree at Leeds University. Now this girl has prayed for China since she was a little kid in Sunday school. One day in Sunday school, they said to her, said to the kids, "Why don't you pray and see if God puts a country on your heart?" She felt China, so she starts to pray for China. The nearest thing she ever got to China was a Chinese takeaway. She'd never been to China or anything like that, but she's praying for China. She's doing this master's degree course, and the week before she starts, her husband is praying. He says to her, "You know what? I think there's someone Chinese that you're going to meet on your course. I just have a sense that there's someone who's from China who you're going to meet." So she goes there with that expectation. The first week, she's sitting in lectures, and this Chinese girl comes and sits next to her, doing the same course. Her name's Heidi. And Heidi says to our team member, "What are you doing here in Leeds?" So this girl says, "Well, I'm here to do this course, but I'm also here to be part of a team that's starting a brand new church to work in the communities in Leeds." And this Chinese girl says, "Can I come to your brand new church?" So she said, "Yeah, of course you can." So she comes along actually that evening. And what we find out is that Heidi has come to England partly to get away from some family and friends in China. She's gone through a messy divorce because her husband was abusive, and she's now ostracized by her family. She's got no family, and she's come to England lonely. But 2 years before, she phoned her sister who had emigrated to Canada. And her sister had become a Christian, and her sister said to her, "You know what, Heidi? You've tried this Buddhism thing, and it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for you, and it doesn't work." She said, "Why don't you try praying to God? And if you're not sure who he's the Christian God. He's the Christian one." So Heidi was literally for 2 years praying, "Oh, Christian God, will you?" And then would ask him different things to do. And she came to England with two hopes, two prayers that she was praying. One, she would find a church. And two, because she was coming to Leeds, she'd be able to visit the Yorkshire Dales, because beautiful part of the country and is quite close to Leeds. She arrives at our house on the Wednesday. She's now found a church, a little embryonic church. On the Sunday, we'd already planned a trip to Bolton Abbey in the Yorkshire Dales. So we invited her. So she came along. So in 4 days, she sees both prayers answered. 4 weeks later, she's watching a video. It's a children's video, and it gets to the point, it's about Jesus, the life of Jesus, and at the end of it, there's the crucifixion. And as she's watching this bit of Jesus dying on the cross, the penny drops for her that he did it for her. He did it because he loves her. And that night, she's around our house, and we're praying. And she starts to pray, and as she's praying, thanking Jesus for dying on the cross for her, she's crying. So later that evening, we're able to help her to start a relationship with Jesus for herself. That was 4 weeks. The reason why it was so quick was that God was already at work. He'd been working in Heidi's life for years and years and years. Certainly, for the 2 years prior to that, through her sister saying, "Pray to God, and if you're not sure who he is, he's the Christian one." God gets there before us. So we can expect that our loving God is going to be at work in people's lives. We can therefore look with eyes of expectation. That's the key. Looking, what are you doing, Lord, in people's lives? Why am I getting to know this person? You might want to ask yourself this question. For some of us, you know, why are you here this morning? You might think, "Oh, it's because I found this church or someone invited me." But there's more than that. There's something that's hidden, might be hidden for you, from you, which is that God's drawing close. You're here because he's drawing close and he's wooing you with his love. He's at work in lives. That's what he does, because he loves people. So we can pray and ask him, will you show us, Lord, the doorways that you're opening into people's lives, the doorways that you're working through into people's lives, and what are the next steps that we can help these people to take? Because God's a missionary God. He's on a mission, and his mission is to be known because he loves people. Secondly, when we look at this passage, there was this cross-cultural and courageous outreach by Cypriot and Cyrene Christians who were not limited by the past. We've got to understand sort of like the context that they were in. At that time, they were still debating. It was only sort of the previous chapter that Peter had been hauled over the coals, or actually earlier in this chapter, hauled over the coals by some of the other believers in Jerusalem, because he'd gone to a Roman centurion's house, an amazing story about how an angel had appeared to this centurion. And it wasn't until Peter explained why he'd gone and what this guy said to him and what God had done that the people relented, the other people in the church relented, thought, well, maybe this message of God's love isn't just for the Jews, it's for more than the Jews. But they were still kind of like in that mindset and that sort of tunnel vision that this was really just for the Jews. And then these guys break the mold. It's the first time you see in the story when this message of God's love is going out en masse to people who are not Jews. You've got one or two examples prior to this, but this is where it goes, first of all, en masse. These guys were not limited by the past. The past and what happened in the past was not going to define the future for these guys. And that's a key. That was true for them, and it's true for us. Oops, sorry. Here's the challenge. When we look at our past, we see something a bit like this. Some of you may know this. This is the Tay Rail Bridge, just south of Dundee. Next to the bridge are stumps. Those stumps belonged to the first Tailray Bridge, which collapsed on the 28th of December 1879 in a storm. 75 people were on the bridge in a train, and they all died. And as you go over that bridge, Kate's parents live in Aberdeen, so we used to catch the train. As you go over that bridge, going north, and you look down to your right, you see the stumps. And you do have a little thought go through your mind sometimes. I hope this new bridge is nice and secure. It is, but you see the stumps. All of us have got stumps in our lives that stick just above the water and just remind us of past failures, of things that have gone wrong, including things that have gone wrong when we have tried to help other people make that connection with God's love for themselves. Things have gone wrong. We've had disappointments, and they stick up just out of the water. And when we're crossing the bridge, when again we're talking to somebody about God's love, we look over to our right and we see the little stump. There's a little reminder go through our minds. Before we were in Leeds, Kate and I lived in an area called Blackbird Leeds in Oxford. And when we moved there, we got to know a girl who was living opposite us. She was a professional violin player, played in an orchestra. And over sort of a year or so, we were able to get to know her. And as she told us her story, it was clear that God was drawing close to her life. And through sort of her friendship with Kate, we saw this girl become a Christian, make that connection with God for herself, and start to come along to a church. And then she met a professional viola player. And he was not just not interested in God, but he really was quite antagonistic towards any thought of God at all. He just wanted to live his own life and completely turn his back on any possibility that God might be around and that God might love him and want to be involved. And bit by bit, a tug of war ensued between God on one side and this guy on the other and this girl, the violin player in the middle. And sadly, the guy won. And the girl left the church, turned her back on God, and this guy would move in to come and stay with her at weekends. And he drove a red sports car. And every Saturday morning, we would get up and we'd open our curtains, and sitting right in front of our house was a stump, a red sports car, which reminded us of a failure. Of when it didn't work. Of when what we wanted to see didn't happen. We've all got them. We've all got stumps. But we've got to remember that we do not have to be defined by our past. Is it time for all of us, different ones of us, to step in to a new day in reaching out to people with God's love? See, the message of Christianity is that the past does not define us. Our futures are not defined by our past. We can be forgiven for that past. We can be set free. We've been singing about it this morning. It doesn't have to define us. We can be set free from the past. Do we need to be set free from the past and act courageously as the Holy Spirit nudges us? And finally, taking us on from this, I think you guys are in a breakthrough moment. This is an amazing building. You've got stained glass windows now. You're a proper church. Fantastic. And it's an amazing moment. It's fantastic. And one breakthrough, as we see in the book of Acts, can lead to another breakthrough, can lead to another breakthrough as faith momentum builds. And here you are. This is your breakthrough, the breakthrough of the moment. Add this to the base that you've got with the gate and other inroads into the local communities that you've got, the different things that are happening, and you can see the lives that you're already impacting and the lives that you can impact. And when you look at the book of Acts, one breakthrough leads to another, because God's heart overflows with mercy and love and kindness for the people around us. He never finishes with just one. He always wants another one, because that's his heart. When someone makes that connection with God and finds that love for themselves, it never ever ends there, because God always wants another one and another one and another one, because he loves every one of them. Is it time, therefore, for us to start to pray, and possibly even fast, dare I say it, and ask for God to say, give us one breakthrough after another, after another? There are loads of people whose lives God is working in, here in Folkestone and in Hythe and elsewhere in South Kent. There's loads of people. Loads of people where he's drawing close. Loads of people that are being touched little by little by his love. And he wants them. He wants them to come home. And you can see one breakthrough after another, after another. Joining with God, our loving and merciful and kind God, in his mission to be known. Doorways of opportunity, he opens them up for us. So pray and ask him to show you what the doorways are and what the next steps are to take. We've all got those stumps. We all have them. All those past failures. Things that we wish had worked out differently, especially as we've reached out with God's love to other people. We need to be freed from the past and act courageously as the Holy Spirit nudges us and shows us what to do. And finally, you've had a breakthrough, a massive breakthrough. This is fantastic, this place. Is it time to start to pray and to fast and ask God, come on, Lord, you've given us one breakthrough. Now give us another, and then another, and then another. as we see your love being worked out in people. And we're going to pray in a moment, particularly if you feel this second one. A sense, you know what, I've got those stumps. I've got that red sports car moment like we had back in Oxford. It's time to be freed from that and to walk into a new day. As you've walking into a new day as a church here in this building, I think it's time to walk into a new day as well. But as well as that, I was here yesterday and I noticed your stained glass window at the back. The one at the back, you've got two images of Jesus. The one on the left is Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but the one on the right is based on this. That's a painting by a guy called Holman Hunt. The original hangs in Keble College in Oxford. It's Jesus, the light of the world. He's holding a lantern, obviously, and he's knocking on a door. And the door is all overgrown. It's never been opened. And he's knocking on the door. When the guy, Holman Hunt, painted that painting, what was going through his mind was that this is an image of Jesus drawing close with his love to someone. And he's knocking on the door of their heart. And he's wanting them to open it and let him in. That's what he does. And that's what the image is as you look back there on the right hand, one of those two stained glass windows. If you feel that Jesus is doing that to you, he's drawing close, he's knocking on your door, and he's been doing it for a little bit, he's been doing it for a while, and you want to know a bit more, and especially thinking, well, maybe it's time to open that door, then let's have a coffee afterwards and we can have a chat about that. And you can find that incredible love of God in a deeper way for yourself. But for now, let's just go back and think for a moment about the Tay Rail Bridge and those stumps above the water. We've all got them. Why don't we stand? And if you particularly feel that as you look ahead with this new, great new building and all the possibilities of what God can do, wants to do and is going to do through this place, as he wants to be known and as he wants his love for people to be spread and spread and spread. But you feel, you know what? What about so-and-so? There's somebody who comes to mind that you know, who you reached out to with God's love and it didn't work out as you wanted. And you know it holds you back. If that's you, whilst James and the band just play, why don't you come forward and we'll pray for you? Because you can walk free of that. You do not have to be affected by that stump. You can be free of that. So as we sing, please come forward. It's a new day. It can be a new day for you as we're reaching out with God's love for people. And you're seeing, you're joining him with what he's already doing in their lives. And having that joy of seeing people, making that connection with Jesus for themselves. And as he knocks on their door, them opening the door to him.